All right. Everybody here good? Hallelujah. So I got my message I've entitled it "Speak, Lord, Your Servant Listens." We're going to go to 1 Samuel, I think it is, and look at when Samuel was just a little guy, and he was in the temple with Eli, and the Lord was calling him, and that's what he said was, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." And I believe that the Lord gave me a message on service because of our work day yesterday. I was so excited because normally work days we get 5 or 6 people that come, and it's a lot of work for those who are here. And yesterday we had a crowd show up, and it was just fun. We had a good time working together, and we got a lot of things done. We just about got everything on our list, and Julie had 2 pages written out for us of all the things that needed to be done here. And so it was just really nice to be able to go through it at leisure and not have to. It wasn't hard. Some of them might claim that differently, but that we're painting all day. But it was good. We were able to get all of the foundation painted around the outside there. So we've had in the past year, we've had a lot of rains out of the north, and it just soaked that wall and came in and made the carpet wet in the conference room. And so it needed to be done. It was something that we had to get done, so there was quite a crew out there that took care of that yesterday, took care of all the painting things. So thank you guys, all of you that came to help. It was just, it was fun, and I realized what good servants we have here at church. And so the church is supposed to be made up of people who get involved in the church, and that's what you guys do. And I'm so thankful that you're willing to serve. You're willing to do what God calls you to do. We've just got so many here that work and do things that don't really get recognized for it. But we thank you, those of you who do things that just because they need done. And that's really how the church is supposed to act, and that's the way you are, and I thank God for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started today in 1 Samuel 3. Father, I thank you for our time together today. It's just good to be with the church. It's good, Lord, to be in a body that loves to serve and help one another and just to share life with one another. It's good to be in a community, Lord, that loves you, that cares for one another, that helps out with what needs done. And Lord, I thank you that you've showed us how to grow together, that you've shown us, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit does work good together. And Lord, it's just awesome to be in a body that loves you and cares for one another. And so, Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Samuel was just a little guy. He wasn't very old. I don't know if I recall how old he was when he started there with Eli, but his mom put him there because she asked for a son, and the Lord gave her a son in her old age, and she said that if you give me a son, I'll give him to you for life. And so she took Samuel back to spend his time at the church with Eli there, and this is just kind of at the beginning of his life. I'm going to say probably 6 or 7 years old. He was really young. He was just a child still. And let's begin. Well, let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 3. I'm in chapter 1, so I better move a couple or I'll be reading the wrong thing to you. Okay. 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." The Lord called Samuel. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel had been spending time in the church there with Eli, and it said he hadn't yet heard the voice of the Lord. He hadn't yet come to know the Lord. And so every time God called, he ran to Eli, because that's who was mentoring him. That's who was training him to be a prophet of God. And so just in one night, he learned to hear the voice of the Lord. It took me a little longer than that. I have spent a lifetime trying to listen to the Lord and hear his voice, and I would have loved an experience like Samuel had, where he heard the voice of God. He heard God calling him, "Samuel, Samuel." And of course he didn't know who it was at first, because it was the first time he'd heard it. So God speaks to us in many different ways. You've heard me talk about that before. He speaks to us through other Christians. That's why we need each other, because we hear important things from one another. We get instruction from other Christians. We hear the voice of the Lord from his word, and that's why I spend time in it every day, just trying to hear the voice of the Lord for what he wants for us here at Open Arms. I'm not going to say that I think he still speaks through prophets. I don't know that we have any prophets in here. I've never heard anyone prophesy here. But I have heard in my lifetime prophets that hear the word of God and prophesy in that, speaking the word to a congregation. But during this time, during the church, they listened to the prophets. The prophets were the ones who taught them what God wanted. They didn't have all of this that we have to read. So they had to rely on somebody telling them what God was saying to the people. So there's just a lot of different ways that we hear the voice of God. But God was calling Samuel here, and so that he would learn to hear his voice. And I just wanted to start with that today, as just so that you know that God is calling you to serve. So God is calling us to be servants. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. There's a couple different places here in Matthew that talk about service and being servants of God. 20 verses 25 through 28. So, 25 says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to be a servant. And we're to example our lives after him, so therefore we're servants as well. We're here to serve, and especially it says if you want to be great, then be a servant. So there's a lot of things happen because you are servants. So we've learned to take care of one another. To somebody has a need, to go and fulfill and meet that need. The year in 2013, when I fell off the roof, broke my pelvis, I was down for 8 weeks with no weight bearing, so couldn't work. And you know when you don't work, you don't have enough money to go around. But we had many individuals who helped us financially during that. And the church here helped us through that. It was just, it was really neat. We did not let anybody know what our needs were. We didn't say anything, and yet God took care of everything, all of our needs. He took care of everything that we needed during that time. And it was mostly because of the church, because of God's people paying attention, hearing his voice, and then doing what he asked you to do. And that's why the church is built to serve. That's why the church is built to serve one another, to care for one another. You know, the early church, and I'm not going to get into this morning, in Acts, they did everything together. They ate together. They just did everything together. And it said when they sold property, they brought it to the church and used it to help the needs of the church. They used it to make everyone equal. They're all on the same basis. They're all working together to do the will of God. And then just flip over a couple more pages to Matthew 25. And there's some verses here also that talk about serving. In 25, we're going to begin at verse 31 and read down through the end of the chapter. This is talking about the sheep and the goats. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So, according to these verses, whatever we do, however we serve one another, we're serving Christ. We're not doing it just for them, but for Jesus, to prepare us for his kingdom. It says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, and to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. And I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So that's why it's important to pay attention to what God says and do for others when he asks you to. It was just a joy to see the church working together this week, and I thank the Lord that he's put me in a body that cares about one another, that cares for one another and helps one another. In Philippians chapter 2, also talks about servanthood. Forgot to put my little magnets in Philippians, but I was close when they were in Ephesians, so we're good. Philippians 2, 1 to 11 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, Jesus, who came as the Messiah, who came as a king, humbled himself and became like one of us. He became a servant. He came to serve. And so we're to be like him. And I like the way these verses started out here, talking about the church, how we encourage one another and care for one another. And then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, not looking out for your own needs, but looking out for the needs of others. I don't know how many times yesterday someone came up and asked me, what else do you need? What else do you need? What can I help you with? And that's awesome. You weren't seeking your own way, but you were looking out for the good of the others. And I thank God for that. It was just a blessed day. Back up to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8 in Ephesians 6. Talking about slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So, we don't really know what slavery is like. None of us have experienced being slaves. We've read about it. We've watched movies about it. But when I read verses like this, I think more of employers and employees. I've almost always been an employer. I guess I spent the first 7-8 years out of high school as a employee, and then became an employer. And so I like to put employers, obey your employees, and obey your employers in respect, with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. How many of you think of your jobs as serving the Lord? I didn't either when I worked for somebody else. I thought I was serving somebody else, some serving man. But he says to serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he's slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So we're to serve wholeheartedly. That was the verse that I wanted to take out of here. Serve as if you're serving Jesus, not man. And I'm not going to get into it, but just below here is where you put on the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 down through 18. So if you don't do that, remember to look these up and put on your full armor every day, because that's how we fight against the enemy. And I want to finish today over in 1 Corinthians. So we're going to just back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, I wanted to share these verses because we don't all serve the same. The whole church didn't show up for work day because that's not the kind of service some of you do. And I just want you to know that no matter what you serve at, it's important in the body of Christ. We can't all do the same thing. And I guess that's one of the things that I enjoy about sharing life with you guys, is that we all serve in some capacity to help for the common good of the whole body. And we don't all have the ability to do the same things. God gives each one of us different gifts that help the body of Christ. And so find out what your gift is and do it to the best of your ability. That's how the church grows together and works together. But these verses say that there's different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. And we're working for the same thing. We're working for the common good of all. And so as we work together, God will continue to bless as we share life together. So as we finish up today, we're going to have a final song. And if any of you have prayer needs this morning, I would love to pray with you. And if you would like just to have someone around you pray for you, or just let them know your need, and that can happen as well. You don't have to come to the front for somebody to pray for you here. So that's why it's so important that we pray for one another all week long. And that's why we put prayer needs in the bulletin, so you can take that home and pray for those needs at home during the week. And I see that there is a few in there again this week. So make sure you look at those and take them home and pray for them. All right.